You're helping me like accept the loss.
Well, I'm trying to bring you into sports gambling. It's what I do. I'm the devil. You know? You see, when the comfort of the Saints winning eludes you,
you need something to make you feel better. The warm embrace
of gambling is there to pick you up. What's up? Good evening. You are listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. I am your host, the one and only Billy Gunn, coming at you on this, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. And in fact, check that. I've decided, Jeff, I'm going to go ahead and bring in. I've decided I'm going to plant my flag. We are now the official sports wagering podcast of all of Louisiana.
Ooh.
Sports gambling news.
Love it.
Well, it just feels like nobody else wants to pick up the torch in the traditional media. So, you know, I had to put my reporter cap on this week. And it's something we're probably going to do moving forward. But I'm excited to bring to Taking the Over this week. It's about a once a year guest. He is a founding father of the Dome Patrol podcast. He is, man, dude, you've been a friend for quite a long time, couple decades, and a dear friend at that. You'll probably recognize his voice when I say welcome to the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network and Taking the Over, Jeff.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast United Network. Oh,
no, just do announcer shit the whole night. Do shit the whole night.
Did you see that idea? I want to do a show with Dave from the BS and Beer.
Yeah,
one. And like
when you go to a bar and they have two pianos.
Yeah. It's just host to host, and it's host all to host. Hostiness. You could get in on that. Yeah, we could just do the host show.
The host show. There's gonna be a lot of new content coming to the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network potentially. And we're gonna talk about that tonight because one of the things I wanted to talk about having Jeff here tonight is kind of like state of the Dome Patrol, or just like kind of, you know, ask him some questions, kind of re-help the listeners understand, like, you know, what we've got, what to look forward to, everything like that. Maybe some Dome Patrol trivia. I don't know. I'm very excited to have you on because we're going to talk about something that's really, really fun as far as NFL wagering goes this week. We're going to talk about NFL player, like individual player props, meaning individual players to do certain things statistically, right? And they've got really fun odds, and it's a bet that takes the entire season to hatch, but you can get some really sweet returns on these. We've got one that I feel very, 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 very excited about. So excited about. I'm not going to let my cat make that pick. I'm going to make that pick myself. And it's going to be our pick of the week. But other than that, one thing that we've talked about extensively on this podcast, Jeff, is the legalization of sports gambling in Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
And there's come to be some confusion over if or not the legal sports gambling, both what they call retail gambling in casinos and like the apps themselves on your smartphones, are going to start on time or in time, right?
What would on time be, the date?
The initial statement, or the most recent kind of like formal declaration when the law was passed and everybody was cheering and, you know, all that, was in time for NFL football season, week one. They'd actually earmarked September 9th as the goal.
Okay.
And there's been some speculation and a lot of silence in the, you know, a lot of silence, and the silence leads to speculation, right? There's been a lot of speculation about what's going on. Oh, and the guy that was the chairman of the board resigned in June. So they didn't have a chairman for a month. Now, I don't know.
Okay.
And it wasn't one of those things where they had another guy ready. So it took them a month to get the other guy in.
I think, is this like a Cuomo situation?
No. But no, in fact, and the guy, see, and it's interesting because
with these state
boards, you have like a professional staff, like that's hired, like, and they are state employees. And then you have the political appointees on the boards.
Right.
So there's like a professional staff and a board, right? So the guy that's in charge of the state end of it, the non-board end, is a really cool guy, and he's been in place the whole time. And he's like, you know, back in his latest statement on the record was in July at a conference, and he said, you know, even though we haven't had a chairman of the board for the last, you know, few weeks, who says we're not going to get it started in time?
Right.
And then every other communication everywhere else is, how are they going to get this started in time? And then I saw another communication that stated that it was going to come out, and it was going to be sports wagering would be online and available to Louisiana residents by the bowl games.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a lot different.
From September 9th to November?
The bowl game, December.
Late November, early December. Yeah.
Like, December.
Yeah.
The bowl games. Yeah.
So I was actually going to say, if the September 9th deadline was met without a chairman, it might suggest or prove that the chairman is a symbolic figure. It's unnecessary. But the fact that it might be pushed back without a chairman might suggest that the chairman is an important role, which, why wouldn't they have filled it? I'm actually,
and they've replaced the chairman. The chairman resigned from his seat in the state Senate. He was a state senator.
I don't know why, but I really want to know why. Like, I think there's something. I think there's a story.
He might have been an opponent of sports gambling.
He might have been an opponent.
But
if you're putting on your reporter hat and you want to report on this, there's a story here. My journalistic instincts tell me there's
a
story.
The only story I give a fuck about is when this shit's going to start. That's the story.
Well, I will start another podcast show.
When's this shit going to start is the fucking story. I don't care about the last chairman.
You're right. It's a different show.
It's
the gossip show.
I'm not a fan of true crime shows. I'm not one of those true crime people.
It's not crazy to think that there's corruption involved in gambling, I guess.
There's so much that there's always. Now, I reached out to the Louisiana Gaming Control Board today.
Okay.
For some clarification. And I wrote them an email that said, "Hello, I'm reaching out to ask what is the most current expectation for when sports wagering will be available in Louisiana. I've heard conflicting information stating in time for week one NFL, and most recently heard perhaps in time for college bowl season. Is there any info I can share? I have a Louisiana-based sports wagering podcast, and I'd like to be able to share any updates that you have. Thank you." Guess how long it took them to reply.
They didn't reply. You said
you're guessing they didn't.
I'm guessing reply. They didn't. I'm taking you're the under.
They didn't reply. That's a good. You're taking the over on that one.
I think it's a trick question. No, I don't know. What time did you send the email? Like, if you sent it at like 5 o'clock, I know. What
I
time
sent it
is.
At like 11:45 a.m.
It had to be like the last thing they did before they walked out of the office.
It took them 22 minutes.
Whoa. Okay. That's
22
impressive.
Minutes. That's impressive. That's impressive.
So how come they can't get gambling done in time?
I don't know. I don't think it's the staff's fault.
I think whoever replies to those emails needs to be the chairman.
Well, right. Agreed. Their email read, "Louisiana Gaming Control Board is currently working on regulations pertaining to sports betting based on the recent laws legalizing such. As they are still currently being drafted, there is no timeline that we can provide. However, we suggest that you check our agenda each month to determine whether this matter will be considered or not. The next board meeting will be held on August 19th, 2021, and the agenda will be posted to our website on Tuesday, August 17th, 2021. When our meetings are held at the state capitol, you may visit the Louisiana State Legislature's website to view the meeting in real time.
Hey, that's that, okay.
Does that give you hope? That gives me hope.
That's helpful. Well, it at least they didn't dismiss it.
At least they're trying to direct you to it.
Right.
Does that give you optimism?
It does, because everything's going to be okay. Right. If they felt like there was, oh shit, you know, one of those situations, then we'd have to come up with a bunch of words to essentially say nothing. But they kind of gave you like, dude, here's the agenda. Here's where you can find our agenda. Here's how you can watch our meetings. Like, I can't tell you. I don't know. But we have nothing to hide. That's what I took from that. But it also they're putting
I have responsibility on you. I have confidence in the staff. The guy I was telling you about earlier, the gaming division director, is a guy who's about our age. His name's Christopher Hebert. He's got degrees from LSU and Southern. And like I said, he's the only person that's really, he went on record kind of back in July. He said there was a narrative that sports betting would be delayed because we're operating without a chairman. I hope someone here quotes this. That is absolutely not the case. The board's day-to-day operations have not and will not cease. We have operated three times in the past without a chairman. There are things in place. Our vice chairman is authorized to memorialize decisions of the board. Okay. Christopher Hebert, Louisiana Gaming Division Director.
Look at Christopher going. Now, all right, I think Christopher should be the commissioner.
Yeah, he seems to... That's from July 17th. Today is August 12th.
Okay. Reassuring. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, we got...
Yeah. It took them about a month to get the new guy in place on the chairman board side.
And that makes sense. If you got
Have confidence in the staff. I don't necessarily have confidence in the political appointees, but the people that are the state, you know, professionals at this.
Well, and those are the people that are going to get it done anyway.
And you notice when you call them state professionals, like they are the ones that are that are there to be professionals, even though they work for the state.
Right. Yeah. Political appointees are there to be.
I was very impressed that they got back to me so quickly. And like I said, I want to make sure that I do a good job on this show, kind of helping people understand what the fuck's going on with all of this, because you're not getting it anywhere else. You're not getting it in the traditional media.
Yeah.
You're not getting it from fucking WWL. You're not getting it from Fox 8.
And I get this affects Louisiana, and you're talking about being the official sports wagering podcast of Louisiana. Would you go so far as to say the Gulf Coast?
I know a good deal about Mississippi and their situation with gambling. You know, I mean,
I'm talking more like there are no other sports wagering podcasts coming out of Mississippi and Alabama, right? Or at least none. No, none of consequence.
You know what started to happen to me as I get older, Jeff, is
don't care about that.
I'm not a no. This is tied directly to it. I'm not a. We're not boomers, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're technically not
correct.
Boomers.
We're
we
not.
Don't behave as boomers, but sometimes my abilities with technology and Googling and shit, I start to feel boomer adjacent.
Uh-oh.
In that it's like I should be able to do this. I should be able to find out if there's another Mississippi-based fucking sports wagering podcast that also is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first started doing this, I was listening to other sports wagering podcasts kind of like that were anywhere near that I could grab. And one of the first ones I came across was a guy who's now a good friend of mine, T from the... from his podcast. And he's in the same exact lane. It's sports, it's Saints, it's, you know, I mean, like, and he and I both been on each other's shows. I mean, but he doesn't live here, but it is like a Saints, based wagering. So, but it's like, I don't know of anybody, like, I haven't come across anybody in like Mississippi, you know.
Right.
I know there's a couple of other like sports wagering podcasts that are in the New Orleans market, kind of independent indie podcasts, but I don't know. I feel like a lot of people go, I'm starting a podcast, and they do four episodes.
Yeah.
Eight episodes, and they, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them that are out there I've, you know, listened to or tried to listen to, and some of them are good and some of them fucking, you know, it's, and the thing that, like, in podcasting with me is, like, it's not a competition.
Well, that's the thing, right? You got, I think a lot of people think of podcasts wrongfully as they do a radio station where it's a zero sum game, where, and that's not the case, right? With podcasts.
That's how radios had, that's how radio stations had to be, right?
You can, well, you have to be that's tuned how into radio one station yeah, at like this a, time. Yeah. It wasn't recorded. You couldn't listen any other time. It was always live and you could pick one.
It crafted that mentality. Yes. The radio era.
Yep.
That makes so much sense.
And actually, a lot of radio, fun fact here, stations don't like using or referring to themselves as a radio station anymore because of the archaic, like all of the things that it conjures up when you think radio, that's so old. And if you really think about it, yes, there are stations who still broadcast AM, FM, but every one of those stations put their shit on the internet. It's, they have, they do it in podcast form as well. So you could always, I mean, think about like Walton and Johnson in the morning, you think of WWL, you think of what T-Bob does. Everybody's content is available all the time on demand now. Radio is dead in a sense. Even radio stations don't like using the word radio. They just so call it like media.
It's so bad. They're
still stuck in their old mentality of how to, what to produce. They're too commercial.
There's a Walgreens 90 seconds from my house, a 90 second truck ride. Okay. Sometimes I won't bring my phone. And the minute I get in my truck, I go, oh shit, I'm going to have to listen to the radio. It's so bad. I had WWL on. I couldn't make it 90 seconds the other day.
I'm surprised you heard show. In 90 seconds, I think you probably.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I nails on a chalkboard commercial.
Yep. Yep. Think about that. Like nobody listens to radio.
I think the I'm going to disagree with you, Jeff. I think their actual content is worse than the commercials. I think the commercials are better than fucking whoever the fuck I heard talk to somebody about.
If you listen to WWL, you're absolutely right.
I'd rather listen to the commercials than listen to fucking Bob Yeaber.
Yeah. I heard him and Eric were going after each other today because Garlic was anti-vax or something. And
Bobby's pro-vax. Oh my God. They're going to a
sports talk show and they're fighting about the vaccine.
I'm so thankful I haven't had to hear fucking Bobby Yeaber or Christian Garrick's opinion on the vaccine.
Well, you can probably listen to it on demand.
Oh no. No,
probably so on their website. So, but to the original point about podcasts not being zero sum. When we started the Dome Patrol podcast 10, 11 years ago now, it was 2010, the year basically a couple of months after we won the Super Bowl. Boy, did we miss! We should have started a year earlier. That would have been the greatest inaugural season. But
I don't know. It'd be kind of hard to come back to that.
The reason we started it was because we were one, like at the time, especially there was only one other Saints podcast that you could find on iTunes or whatever, Apple Podcasts,
right.
And it was at least for us, not worth listening to. It was not good. We didn't like it. We didn't like the, I don't know. It just didn't, it wasn't mine. It wasn't for us. You know, the group of us that decided to start one. Mm-hmm. And we said, hey, you know, if these people can have a podcast,
right?
We could have a podcast.
Right. We could.
I know how to start a Skype call. You know, back then it was Skype. And so we got a group of us together and we put together, you know, we had a meeting to discuss like, what is the format of the show? What's the personality? What's the tone? And what's it going to be? And we put together the show and then we all got on that Tuesday night or whatever. And we also said like the original premise of the show was it's buddies who are friends already, not, you know, and again, that was part of what was, we felt like was differentiating us from the other podcast was the other, whether those guys knew each other or not, it didn't feel like it. They didn't have the chemistry that friends do, like you and I, we've known each other forever. We get on, we just talk. So we said it needs to be, we're hanging out at a bar talking Saints and the listeners are our buddies hanging out at the bar with us. That's the feeling that we wanted for the show, which of course meant everybody had to drink on and before the show, because that's all the whole thing about what's your name, what's your number. your number on a drunk scale of 1 to 10. How drunk right. are you?
What's so your number tonight, by the way?
I've had on my third drink. I'm probably like a 1.5 or 2. Okay. You know, not too bad.
Any decimal points?
No, not tonight. Yeah. But those of you who know, you know. But so the joke was also like, if somebody comes in at like an 8, you can kind of anticipate what kind of show it's gonna be.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
But yeah, like, so that was kind of the shtick, right? That was the show. And then, you know, over the years it's evolved to, as we've gotten older, I find that we're not, you know, back in the, like 10 years ago, our numbers were 8s,
right?
We were shit-faced doing this podcast, and now you'd be lucky if you get somebody over a 3, you know. And it's kind of funny. I don't know,
there's been some people throwing out some higher numbers. I don't know, you know, but
periodically, yeah,
periodically,
but not like it used to be, like every, even me hosting the show at like a 10. I can't even read the
every time I used to come on the show as a guest, I took it as an invitation to get obliterated, you know. And, I mean, I did.
Yeah. And we did, and we had a blast. And then through the magic of editing, if fans
edit sober, right?
If
you have any advice for aspiring podcasters out there,
sober.
Edit sober.
Yeah, a lot is left on the cutting room floor. And the funny thing is that, yeah, when everybody's a high enough drunk number, the recording is like 2.5 hours long. So editing a show was an all day affair. Because couldn't even think of nowadays, like if we record a show, one, you're sober enough to where you can remember the next day when you're editing. So you can know, like, okay, you know what? The first 15 minutes, I don't even have to edit. It was so good. It doesn't have any real edits. Maybe throw a few drops in there. Back in the day, you had to listen very carefully to the entire show.
That's a personality driven thing, I'm sure. But I feel like, you know, one of the running jokes right now is that you've been away, you know, the whole summer or whatever. But like,
which is not
after editing that draft night show, however fucking long that, like, I just finished.
That's why I've been gone.
Yeah, you deserve to take the rest of the summer off. Like, you know, that's
how
ridiculous.
How long was that? That was a 6-hour event.
I have no idea.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't,
and know, I was sober, right? And I have no idea.
Yeah, it was the draft night. So we started when the draft started, and we went all the way through the first round. We live streamed it, so actually you could watch the unedited live stream.
I went to bed. Y'all were still going.
The draft was still on. I mean,
I
think we stuck around a little while after, but it's become a tentpole show now. Like, we did it last year, we did it this year, and like that, and the show before the regular season starts, right? So like those two shows are like the big tentpole moment shows in Dome Patrol podcast, and those are the shows where we invite everybody to come on, fan listeners, come on. And then we did that with the draft, we brought listeners in. And yeah, editing that, because you're taking a 6-hour recording and you've got to produce a 1-hour show, which I didn't do. I did a 2 1-hour shows.
Right.
draft part one. But yeah. So,
well, dude, we've got a good full lineup of shows now. I just want to recap real quick. So during the regular season, as we move through the NFL and college football seasons and the Premier League and all the things we've got going on, you know, you're going to have, of course, the original Dome Patrol podcast once a week. The 2-point conversion, point after show.
Instant reaction.
I can't do the titles on these fucking shows.
Yeah. Instant reaction.
2-point instant
reaction. No, the instant reaction. No. It's the 2-point conversion instant reaction show.
Oh, is it?
Yes. 2-point. Yeah, because WWL. Sure? Well, yeah, because WWL does the point after. They go for one.
We go for two.
Yeah. The 2-point conversion. Instant reaction.
You're going to have Tiger's Den with Scott.
Yeah.
You're
Which
gonna
is
have
LSU podcast.
LSU podcast. LSU. And it's. And that I don't one's think, a little. Was he around for LSU football season?
Yeah.
Did he start the show during football season?
I think he did. I don't remember exactly when he started, but he started after you.
Yeah.
Started your, so it was in the season or something like that. But now that's a different show where 99% of the time it's Scott by himself. It's like a monologue show.
Right.
And Scott, and I'll tell you what, if you ever listen to, I don't know if you listen to it or not, but if whoever listened to it, when you listen to it, I get it. It reminds me of the days that my grandpa would pick me up from school, something like to bring me to piano lessons or something. And it was like a 20-minute ride to the piano lesson. And my grandpa listened to 870 AM radio. That was the only thing he listened to back in the 90s. And it was Rush Limbaugh. And I tell you, Scott reminds me of like, it's the, you know, like your AM radio conservative right wing single person talk show where he's talking to the audience. Like that's the feel like now. And that's not to say like Scott turns it into a political show, but it's, you know, the whole idea, like when you would listen to Rush or if you listen to any of those one person with no callers, just opinion talking about shit. So Scott goes over all the news that's going on with LSU and shares his feelings and his opinion on it. The only thing missing is for him to do like, you know how, I don't know if you're used to listen to Rush or not either, but how he'd be like, and I got something right here.
And he'd shuffle some papers.
But anyway, that's Scott. Yeah. That's Scott's show.
He's an LSU fan.
Yes.
He's a good archetype of an LSU fan.
I will tell you, he's the best person to host that show because he, out of all of us, I think knows the most about all LSU sports.
Oh, yeah. He's down with the gymnastics. He's got it all. BS and Beer with Dave Romero. And I did not know about this podcast until it came to the Dome Patrol network. Mm-hmm. And I started listening to it last year, right?
On the Dome Patrol.
Network. On the Dome Patrol, right. And it's better football analysis
than the Dome Patrol.
I think you can get, definitely than the Dome Patrol. I'm sorry.
It is. Well, that's why we wanted.
Definitely than the Dome Patrol. I think than anywhere out there.
I agree.
Traditional media, independent podcasting, I think it's the best nuts and bolts, X's and O's, fucking obsessive Saints fans talking about that shit obsessively.
Yes. And that is why, like, so when they were, so we had our podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Dave and them, BS and Beer, had their own podcast. And then the Saints UK had their podcast. It was like the three that came in. I could only listen to those other podcasts. Again, like you try to listen to other Saints podcasts and it was like nails on a chalkboard. I agree with you. Like the BS and Beer, the way Dave hosts that show, Wes's input, Heath's input. I love what they're doing with that. And back then they also had Tomas. They have, you're right. It's the best and true analytics of the Saints football team, and whether it's the games and the moves and the decisions. Which is part of why I loved that Dave and them were willing to join the Dome Patrol Network instead of, they could have just told us no, like we're going to keep doing our own thing. But they were like, hey, why don't we join forces and produce like a really awesome network of shows where, like Dave and the EBS and Beer, that's our sophisticated street cred good show on the network. The Dome Patrol is your morning zoo. You know what I mean? We're the fun. It's the crazy fun, and that's great. We don't want two shows that are alike.
You got the Pelican Plunge periodically with James and Jason. Ben gets in on that too.
Call that Jason's show, right?
Right. You've got the Premier League podcast. James and Ben, their coverage of the Euros this summer was outstanding. I'm a soccer fan. I listen to all of it.
You were on it, weren't you? Didn't you guest on it?
Don't think I was on it. It almost felt like I would bring it down. Like, these guys are so knowledgeable about soccer. I didn't want to be the fucking anchor. You know what I mean?
You didn't want to be the Ted Lasso?
No. You're right. I know slightly more than Ted Lasso. Okay. Right. Yeah, I know a little more than Ted Lasso. Yeah,
I'd be the Ted Lasso.
Right. Right. I'd be the coach.
Right. Beard, the coach that Beard. Helps Ted Lasso by Beard. Telling him what the locker is like. Right?
And then you got Taking the Over.
Yep.
You know, And I've loved being on the network. Yep. You know, it was cool to start a show centered around sports wagering with the, you know, from a Saints fan's eye view. And I've had a blast doing it. And it was really, like I said, it's exciting to come to an established place and you know, fuck, I don't think I've run away too many listeners. I hope not.
I don't think so. Well, I remember when you called me up or something, or I don't remember how, but I remember you pitching the idea or saying like, hey, I've been thinking about this kind of a show. And to me, it's one, anytime you can put a microphone in front of Billy Gunn, sign me up. Like, I've known that since the day, like literally the day, the minute we met that right. night at the alumni house.
The alumni house, right.
That's right. I will listen to you talk anytime. So, like, I don't care. Gracious. You were like, I have an idea for a podcast. Sign him up. Right? Yeah. You haven't heard what it's about. Doesn't matter. But yeah, like that. Yeah, I love that. Again, you think about every show that we have on the network is a different show.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something that ties it all together too. And I like that the Dome Patrol, the mothership show, in a sense that you think about it, like everybody has their own show, but then we all come together for the Dome Patrol. We all come to the Dome for the big show.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I like that. And yeah, we have room for more shows, I think.
Well, there. We might have a sneak preview of a special pilot episode of a forthcoming show as a special little bonus nugget for the people that stick around to the end of tonight's show.
Post-credit scene.
Yes, the post-credit scene. Stick around. There's a post-credit scene tonight.
That's right.
If you're gonna like it, tell us if you don't.
It's sure a sneak we'll peek of a potential new... We need to hear from you. Mm-hmm. You've got to tell us whether or not you want this to be a show. We have a pitch.
I think it's either going to be very popular or very not popular.
But again, because we're a Saints First network,
that's right.
It's pet owners who are Saints fans.
Saints fans, pet owners.
Right.
You'll hear the preview tonight. Let's talk about the NFL. You ready to talk about the NFL and wagering?
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, good. All right. So look,
I've got my research.
Good. So this week we're going to talk about NFL individual player props. And we're also going to do a little bit of talk about some team win totals too. And Jeff, I know you're not a very experienced sports gambler. It's fair to say that you're virtually nil on sports wagering, right? Like no experience.
I've never placed an official bet.
There you go. Well, that's as inexperienced as can be on this. So I wanted to choose something, and with sports betting coming to Louisiana here in a month to 2 months to 3 months to who knows, you're gonna have a lot of new people, right? And one of the most simple things you can do is a player prop bet. And typically player prop bet will happen during the game. You can say Patrick Mahomes is going to throw over 2.5 touchdowns today, meaning Patrick Mahomes is going to throw 3 or more touchdowns, right? You can take that same prop bet and you can extend it to the entire season. So you can say, who's going to have the most regular season passing touchdowns in 2021, 2022? Who's going to have the most regular season passing yards? Who's going to have the most regular season rushing? And that's called a future prop, okay? And you place it at the beginning of before the season begins, and you watch the whole entire season. And then at the end of the season, if you win, you typically win a good amount.
Okay.
Because it's a long-term risky bet. And there's, you know, there's 30 guys that could pass for the most passing yards in the NFL next year, mathematically, you know.
30. Yeah, yeah,
there's 15 that have a chance. There's 8 that have a chance of doing it. Okay. So there's odds on those guys.
And none of them play for the Falcons.
No, I can give you Matt Ryan's odds. And it should bother you as a Saints fan. It should offend you as a Saints fan. When you look at the player prop bet for 2021, 2022, most regular season passing yards, Matt Ryan is plus 1,300. And what that means is if you bet $100, you will win $1,300. And when you turn that ticket back in, that $100 ticket that you hold, it'll pay you $1,400. if you chose Matt Ryan to pass for the most yards in the regular season of any quarterback next year?
What's Jameis Winston's?
Do you know what Jameis Winston's number is?
Plus 27.
And let me give you another little more context. The leader, the favorite for most regular season passing yards is, of course, Patrick Mahomes at plus 310. So if you bet $100, you'll win 310. That ticket, when you turn it back in, will pay you $410.
Okay. You're saying if you bet 100, so you get your 310 plus your 100 back, yeah.
Correct.
Okay. So Jameis Winston, I think they're going to have below Matt Ryan, so he's going to be higher than 1,300. So I'm going to say now 1,300, does it go up by like a certain interval each time, like 100, plus, like the next guy's plus 410, plus 510?
Or Dak is it Prescott? Dak Prescott is plus 500.
Okay.
He's the next after Mahomes. Then Josh Allen at plus 850. Tom Brady at plus 950. Justin Herbert, that's not A-Bear, by the way, plus 1,200, the guy from the Chargers.
Then I'm going to say Winston's going to be like plus 2,000.
Matt Ryan plus 1,300. Matthew Stafford plus 1,400. Joe Burrow plus 1,600. Aaron Rodgers plus 2,000. Trevor Lawrence plus 3,100. Ryan Fitzpatrick plus 3,700. Derek Carr plus 3,700. Kyler Murray plus 4,100. Kirk Cousins plus 4,100. Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions plus 4,400. Russell Wilson.
Skip Jameis's?
I haven't gotten to Jameis's yet.
Oh my gosh.
Russell Wilson plus 4,400. Jameis Winston comes in just before Ryan Tannehill. Jameis Winston is plus 5,500 on FanDuel right now to throw for the most regular season passing yards.
I would almost take, if Michael Thomas was not crazy or injured, I would take that bet. Of course, he wouldn't be plus 5,500.
The last season that Jameis Winston was a starting quarterback in the NFL, do you know what he did that year?
Didn't he throw for over 5,000 yards?
He led the league in passing yards that year.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, I don't know if he set the record. It was over 5,000 passing yards.
No, I don't think he set the record.
In 2019, Jameis Winston won the stat. He led the league in passing yards. He's behind Derek Carr, Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's behind Jared Goff. He's behind Kirk Cousins. Plus 5,500. James was saying the other day he saw this at 60-1, which would mean like plus 6,000 instead of plus 5,500.
Oh, really?
Allegedly, I need to check before I place this bet. I think I'm gonna shop it between William Hill, which is like a Caesars sports book, and I'm gonna shop it between that and FanDuel, see which one's got the better odds. But at a minimum, we know we're gonna have plus 5,500 Jameis Winston to win. I mean, how disrespectful is that? Okay.
I mean, I don't think it's not a knock on Winston as much as I think it's a knock on the Saints receiving core, which is an interesting underestimation by the odds makers, because if Jameis Winston could lead the league in that season for over 5,000 yards with Tampa's receivers at the time, why can't he, with an offense that you know Sean Payton's going to go deep to Deontay Harris as much as he can? You know that Kamara is going to get a bunch of balls and pick up.
And Traquan
go deep too. You've got a lot of options if they catch the ball. You've got the tight end combination of Troutman and Juwan Johnson. You've got Ty Montgomery. If he didn't he get carried off on a stretcher or something?
Yeah,
but he might be back. I don't
you've
know.
Got you. Well, you've got Marquez Callaway's been, you know, showing out.
Yes, Callaway too. So I think people are looking at this.
And you might have Mike Thomas back
halfway through the year.
You so might have half the year with Mike Thomas.
I mean, what's the minimum you can put down on that? Is it 100?
You can put $10 on it if you want.
So
you can put $5 on it. $10 will win you 550.
Put me down for 10.
That I will take a ten. That's fucking easy. Like $10, I'm buying fireworks. I heard that on.
That's
this
what
show.
We call it. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. I'll buy fireworks. Yeah. I'll buy Jameis Winston some fireworks for $10. Put me down for $10. By the way, Jameis Winston's 5109. It was 5,109 yards in 2019, and it puts him eighth all time, behind Ben Roethlisberger in 2018, Drew Brees in 2013, Drew Brees in 2012, Drew Brees in 2016, Tom Brady in 2011, Drew Brees in 2011, and Peyton Manning in 2013.
And I said he, I thought he might, I thought it was
the most ever.
I thought it was the most. Right.
No, that's this year.
Thank you, LSU Ag Center. Yeah, right. Thank you.
This segment brought to you by the LSU Ag Center. Yes, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning leads the NFL for single season passing yards. 5,000, actually 1 yard more than Drew Brees. So Peyton Manning's 2013 number 5,477. Drew Brees number two in 2011, 5,476. Come on.
People talk about, like, you know, I really don't even feel like the quarterback battle in New Orleans is that divisive of a thing. I mean, are there that many people out there that are going Tamus? A lot of people are saying Tamus
Wilson.
Are there a lot of people saying Taysom should be the fucking quarterback?
I think people assume more people than really are, right, thinking that. I think, right, the foregone conclusion is that it's going to be Jameis Winston. I also think that the media is being lazy by saying words like inconsistent. Because if you look at the statistics, they are not inconsistent. 70% completion rate is not inconsistent. Drew Brees, I remember they used to say Drew Brees throws for 70%, we're going to win the game.
Yeah,
you know, Drew Brees was a 68-75%er. Okay, so if Jameis is throwing for 70%, and out of all the throws he's made every day that he's played, he's thrown three interceptions. Taysom Hill's thrown, I think, five interceptions.
Yeah.
In the red zone, did you see the statistic I sent about the red zone? And this is not even camp. This is real life. In the actual games, Jameis Winston is the best red zone quarterback in the NFL. When it comes to, like, touchdowns to interception ratios.
That's funny you mentioned that, because guess what? His touchdown. Okay, so we talked about yardage. Jameis Winston to lead the league in touchdowns.
Yeah.
+6,000.
Oh,
I feel better about him at the yardage.
I kind of do too. But again, his touchdown to interception ratio in the red zone. Okay. 20-1. And since Jameis Winston has entered the NFL in 2015, he has thrown 20 red zone touchdowns to one interception in the red zone. Number two is Tom Brady in that same time frame, 18.9-1. Aaron Rodgers, 18.6-1. Pat Mahomes, 17.3-1. And Russell Wilson, 16.1-1. Jameis Winston is the best red zone quarterback in the NFL, until proven otherwise.
I'm going to put $100 on him to win the passing yard title this year.
How many?
100.
Okay.
I want to win 5,600 coming back.
I mean, I like that, but yeah. I'm gonna put my toe in the water. I'm gonna bet $10.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm just buying sparklers.
Even if it's snap and pops.
I get three boxes for $1, right?
I'm gonna buy a Diablo fountain or some voodoo balls. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I feel like it's a fun thing to cheer for all year. And even in losses, you're going to be like, throw the ball, motherfucker. Just throw it. Throw it.
Ooh, and the fact we could be
getting our asses kicked, and you'd be like, come on, Disney vacation. Like, throw it. You know?
And if they are losing, he's going to throw it more.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we garbage yards pay.
Yeah, garbage yards pay. It's something you're into all year long. Come on.
I like this.
It's something to have.
You're helping me accept the loss.
Well, I'm trying to bring you into sports gambling. It's what I do. I'm the devil. You know? You see, when the comfort of the Saints winning eludes you.
You need something to make you feel better. The warm
embrace of gambling is there to pick you up. Come to the dark side.
You don't know the power.
I'm putting 100 on Jameis. You're putting 10 on Jameis. There might be a happy medium in there too. I don't know. I might put 50 on. Honestly, that's the pick. I mean, if you're a Saints fan and you want to invest in Jameis throwing for a fuckload of yards, I mean, and that just feels like that's going to happen. Do you think he's not going to throw for a lot of yards next year? I mean, how does he not throw for a lot of yards next year? And I'm not even saying he's successful, but how does he not throw? He will. You know, right. That's death and taxes.
We'll put it this way. It is a bet worth making, A, because of the odds, and B, because he's paired with Sean Payton, who has proven that, I mean, with Drew Brees, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, 7 times. Well, 6 times Drew Brees with Sean Payton has thrown for over 5,000 yards. 6 times. The 7th time it was 49, 52 is 50 yards shy. So 7 seasons of Drew's, 15 years with the Saints?
Right.
He has thrown for over 5,000 yards. That's 50% of the time. Jameis Winston has a cannon for an arm. And he's got 2 speedy receivers, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas coming back halfway through the year, if they can repair that relationship. He's got 2 tight ends. He's got the best offensive line in the NFL, Mark.
He's been healthy. See, to win that.
He's got eye surgery.
Like the last time he won it, the last time he played quarterback every game, he won this award. So part of that is you have to be healthy. Jameis is healthy. That's God true. Bless. I hope I'm not jinxing him now. But Jameis has not missed games due to injury. That is huge. Huh.
And
you don't win this award in 2019.
Won that, right. He won that with a shitty offensive coordinator who forced him to throw 30 interceptions at the same time. He's going to sling the ball. So if, again, to me, that's a bet worth
making. This is the bet to make as a Saints fan.
Right?
As a Saints fan, you're obligated to make this bet. Like, I'm going to go before the season starts. God forbid this shit doesn't get here by September 9th or whatever. I'm going to go to the FanDuel, the casino in Mississippi.
Can I log in on a VPN and make that bet?
I'd just go do it for your proxy in Mississippi. Is safer and more legal.
Okay. Let's make that happen. I want,
because you go to withdraw your VPN, and that's going to, all of a sudden, it's going to get hairy.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All of a sudden, that VPN is going to go, oops, I'm not doing my job anymore.
I want 20.
But I'll tweet me and fucking Venmo me if you want me to place this bet. I'll fucking drive to any listener that wants to put $10 on Jameis. We could sell shares.
I love it. Oh yeah, imagine that. We put like
one. You want to get on the Jameis train?
That's right.
Send me $10 as soon as I get. I mean,
week you can have like a scoreboard tally, like we're counting. You know, we're gonna win together.
No, dude, we'll be sending fucking. We'll be sending like hookers and shit to the other quarterback the night before the game. Like, who's Russell Wilson's second?
Oh, he's in the
league. He's coming up on Jameis.
Knocked him back a little bit.
Yeah, let's send him my cat. Let's send my cat in the mail to Justin, to Russell Wilson, to see what happens. My
cat. Oh man, I think I'm not buying into this negativity that people are trying to bring themselves down. I believe
there's even a room. There's even room on the Jameis passes for more fucking yards than anybody else in the league next year. Train for negative people too.
Well, there you go.
He can even do shitty, and they'll still. I mean, he'll still have a chance to do this. I don't see why you don't fucking do it.
Right, because this is not a win loss bet. This is not an interception bet. It's not a touchdown bet. It's a fucking yards bet.
Yeah.
Which you look at the team that, and you look at the players and you look at the coach, you look at the playbook, and dude, that offensive line is another piece of this equation. We have arguably the best offensive line in the NFL.
Absolutely. And he didn't have that in 2019.
He did not
have that in 2019.
Correct. Dude. a good offensive line will make any quarterback look good.
$20 is going to win you $1,100.
I'm going for 20. I want to build a pool. I want to build a pool.
Yeah.
I want to put it down payment. Actually, no, I'm going to put some solar panels on my house. Is what I'm going to do.
There you go. There you go. You go with that pool. Well, dude, honestly, I don't even have to talk about any more gambling tonight. There's nothing else you need to know about gambling this week. We're not going to. I already accidentally picked the preseason games for this week last week because I forgot what fucking week I was in.
I was wondering about that.
Thank you, LSU Ag Center. I was talking about the USC was going to be the same night as the games, which there is a USC the same night as the games. So I wasn't, that wasn't LSU Ag Center. Maybe not. But, dude, I don't have to talk anymore about gambling.
That's what happens when I come on the show.
I know. Go put fucking money on Jameis Winston with FanDuel or any other. But if you can get better odds, like I said, I'm gonna check out William Hill before I place this bet. Before I make a run for the border, because you know, if this shit doesn't get in place in Louisiana fast enough, I'm gonna fucking just have to go right before the start of the season.
Wouldn't the odds change if? The preseason.
I'm shocked the odds
and Jameis plays well. Like, you know what I mean?
Let's say he gets named the starter, because the rest of the country, here's the other thing that I'm noticing as a Saints fan this year, this offseason. The rest of the country's acting like this is a fucking quarterback competition.
Yeah. Well, because that's the bullshit they're being fed.
I really don't feel like Sean Payton's going to pull the ultimate fuckery and go, it was Taysom all along. Look how skinny his calves are this year. Look how skinny his lower body is this year. Right.
Kat Terrell would have you believe.
Dude, there's more than another reporter said the same thing. I think she,
you know,
like,
Taysom can,
I think it's like Kat's roommate or something.
Thing is, Taysom can do all he wants to his body, and he can want to be the quarterback all he wants. He's not as good as Jameis Winston. That's just a fact. If he was, I mean, he's older. If he was, he'd have started in the NFL by now. He's not an NFL starting quarterback.
He's a hell of an athlete.
He's a fucking great athlete. He's probably the best athlete on the team. But that doesn't make you a quarterback. It's beautiful that he can throw the ball because it gives Sean Payton a wonderful thing that he can do with his playbook. However, I honestly think that he's become predictable. And that's, you know what I mean? Like, when he lines up at quarterback, you know it's going to be one or two things.
A fumble,
or he's going to, like, a draw play or something. You know, they're not creative with what they're doing with him. It's like, it's almost funny, like, because, like, it's that gadget thing, and you think it's, oh, he lines up. What's he going to do? It's not about what's he going to do. It's about he's going to do something, and you're not going to be able to stop it because he's that good of an athlete. If he doesn't drop it. You're not going to be able to stop him. He's going to get 7 yards minimum. So, yeah, I mean, but yeah, he's not Jameis Winston.
I lied. We're going to talk about one more gambling thing. The New Orleans Saints win total. And we talked about the New Orleans Saints win total earlier. In the offseason on this podcast, we did like a way too early prediction of win totals and shit like that. And the Saints line has moved since then. And when this line was first published, I thought the Saints over was a steal. And the line was at 9.5. And I thought the Saints were going to win at least 10 games. I figured the Saints would probably win 10 games. That line has now moved to Saints regular season wins over 9 or under 9. If you pick the over or the under and it hits 9, you lose. Actually, this bet's a little bit different than a traditional total because it's a win over under. Over 9 versus under 9. Total wins on a 17-game season. I feel like the Saints are going to win 9 games now. As Jameis throws for 5,300 yards.
What if I think they're going to win 9 games?
Then you're not going to win this bet.
All right, I'm gonna pick the over then. I'll give them one more game.
Holy shit.
I think they're gonna win. I think they're going to win nine games. I don't think.
I think they're gonna win. I think 10. They're gonna win nine games too, and that's why I'm staying away from this.
Right. That's okay. Then if you're forced,
I'm gonna take the money I would have spent on that. I'm gonna put it by stock in Jameis.
Actually, right.
Jameis right. passing yards.
Right. Yeah. Because like my number is nine. So
yeah.
And actually, no. I don't think. I think to me, it's like 8.5, not 9.5. Right? Right. So I think yeah, we can put my money on Jameis.
Yeah.
$20 on Jameis.
It's just they've got a lot of talent in a lot of places, but it's going to – and I tried to – you know, we tried to paint a fun picture yeah. earlier of the receivers because there's been so much doom and gloom around the receivers. But you got to have corners and you got to have receivers. And we are scary, scary thin at those positions.
Yeah, I just – yeah. Until we actually see what happens, because there is that possibility that whether it's Crawley or Adebo, that the cornerback position isn't as bad as we think. And also on the receiver side, if, you know, Callaway could step up. If Callaway steps up, then I'm not as upset about our receiver situation as everybody else is.
Well, the thing that sucks is if our cornerbacks or our receivers are as bad as we think our receivers are and as they have the potential to be. I mean, really.
But why? Let me ask you that. Why?
Because the guy that's number one on the depth chart as of right now was an undrafted free agent last year that we drafted as a special teams player.
But who cares? Pierre Thomas was an undrafted free agent.
And he had asserted himself over time. He wasn't asked to be the number one running back.
But he was the best running back. Well, I mean, Reggie was, I guess,
never really number one. I mean, he was Pierre Thomas fantastic. It was 1A, 1B.
Phenomenal. I mean, that's what I love about Sean Payton's teams is it doesn't matter how you got here.
That's probably number two on the depth chart as we speak right now was playing professional lacrosse when we signed him.
Good. So he's keeping in shape. Dude, I'm sorry, you've known me all these years. I have never taken off my black and gold colored goggles.
This year's different. We haven't had a fucking fire drill.
Convinced myself that getting Ricky Williams, the Ricky Williams move was a good decision.
A lot about fandom I'm learning as I get older is fandom is generational. And so, you know, like a lot of us, everybody, but basically, you know, Ben being younger and coming to be a Saints fan during the Breeze era, all of us remember being Saints fans when we had no fucking quarterback and having to talk ourselves into, oh, Heath Shuler's going to be the answer this year. Oh, did you see they got Danny Werfel? You know?
Yeah. I mean, Yeah.
Oh, Jim Everett. We got Jim Everett from the Rams.
Remember how many times he beat us?
Hey, I think Jeff Blake's actually pretty good, guys. He seems like he's a real good leader.
Jeff Blake was good.
Until he got replaced by Aaron Brooks.
He got hurt. His career ended.
Get his job back.
His career ended.
No, he still played after that.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
Jeff Blake's career ended that day.
No, it didn't.
I'm looking it up.
This is marijuana brain versus no marijuana brain.
Right. Jeff Blake's last year ever. Oh, no, he did play. Wow, Jeff Blake played up until 2005.
Yeah, quite a career.
Hold on a minute.
When we say who's the second best quarterback in Saints history, and motherfuckers say Aaron Brooks, I go, Aaron Brooks is not better than Jeff Blake.
I mean, okay.
Because guess how much Aaron Brooks played after he left the Saints?
None.
Very little for the Raiders, who were a joke of a franchise.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. Yeah.
What is the deal with the Raiders to go after that.
Their quarterbacks. Okay. I like Jeff Blake, but yes. Remember the Billy Joes? Not one, but two Billy Joes at the same time. Billy Joe Hobert and Billy Joe Tolliver. So yes. I'm sorry if like...
We haven't had to do this in a very long time, but we're doing a very good job of loving Jameis.
Well, that's my whole thing. It's like, I'm sorry, like all the people who are only new Drew Brees and are looking at it like, oh God, it's going to be horrible. No, it's not.
because Jameis Winston is legitimately a good quarterback. He's proven that he's a good quarterback. He can play football. Because I'll tell you what shit's going to look like. Shit's going to look like if you had Billy Joe Hobert, Billy Joe Tolliver, Heath Shuler, Jim Everett, Aaron Brooks, like all these guys. Like Mike Ditka went through 5 quarterbacks in 3 years.
He was an exceptionally bad coach of personnel, man, by the time he got here. Yes. Yes, he was.
Yeah. So, no, forgive me if I don't think that we're about to enter some dark ages in the quarterback position for the Saints, because we have seen that Jameis Winston can put some balls in the receiver's hands. And he can put them in the – I know he can put it in the defense's hands.
He can put them, that's okay, because you know what happens? He also leads the league in pick sixes. You know what happens when a pick six happens? He gets the ball right back and throw more yards.
And then you have to throw it because you're behind.
And he's throwing for more yards and more yards and more yards.
We're going to get rich this year.
Put your money in Jameis, Barry. Put that's the whole point of this show, and I'll wrap up our gambling talk with this. Put your money where your love is on Jameis. Put your money where your love is on Jameis. I love Jameis. I want to see Jameis succeed. I'm putting my fucking money where Jeff is placing his first fucking sports bet in his life
on Jameis
on a Jameis Winston yardage future prop. And he's going to get to enjoy that for 18 fucking weeks. Right. $20? It's going to be the best $20 you've ever spent.
Dude. Like $1 a week. It's awesome. And you know...
Cheaper than a fucking postage stamp, really.
With his top number one receiver, undrafted.
Motherfucker from the lacrosse league. You're like,
I'm a two receiver.
Vegas is so stupid. Vegas is so stupid. They put Jameis, you believe the nerve. They put right. Jameis plus 5,500.
The last time he played, fucks. He threw 30 interceptions.
And there's a guy that's got a $144 million contract holding the clipboard right behind him. But we actually know better. Taking, we no, know
who's
better.
Actually,
we
who's
know
actually better taking 20% of the snaps?
Sorry, we decided to put the Swiss Army knife in on 3rd and 6.
Right. Yeah, yeah, right. You know that deep pass play. Yeah, you
we
ain't
decided to let Taysom throw the fucking deep pass on 3rd and 6.
Yeah.
Sorry he dropped the ball before he could get it out of his hand.
Yeah. That's why it pays. That's why he's plus 5,500.
That's why. We're gonna have so much fun. It'd be the most best $20 better than fireworks, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, that's it, right? I spent more on fireworks this year.
Well, dude. It has been an absolute joy having you on.
Hell yeah.
I feel like we should do this more often.
But more twice a year? Twice a year.
Okay. Increase it by 100%. Double it. We'll do it twice a year.
That's true. We'll do one where we celebrate our victory, our payday.
We might.
The end of the season.
I'll tell you what.
The playoffs start.
What the listeners need to do is they need to stick around. Because if there's any hope of Jeff and Gunn launching
one
a new
more
podcast,
show, right? Yeah.
We want you to hear it. So for our loyal Dome Patrol United listeners, Jeff, do you have anything else that you want to add tonight?
That new show pitch is not for the easily offended.
Okay.
It's
that's correct.
It's not for those without a sense of humor.
Right.
It's not for Karens, if your name is Karen. So, yeah. Yeah. Which I don't think any of our audience, I think actually 100% of your audience and the Dome Patrol audience could take it. But this has been a blast. I don't think I've laughed this much or this hard in a long time.
I got some good laughs in there, man.
Yeah.
I got some good laughs in there. So,
look. Well, I've been looking forward to it. Like, honestly, like, scheduling hasn't worked out. I think you asked me, it's probably been at least 4 or 5 weeks since, you know, you were like, oh, let's get you back on. And I wanted to, but just
I have been on vacations. I've been on work trips. I've been doing all this other stuff. And I finally have like, okay, tonight's a good night. I can do this. Let's do this. Because
when definitely... you spend a night recording and editing a week anyway, it's hard to do multiple shows.
It's more correct.
It's hard to do it. It's hard.
Yeah. But I also know that when you and I get together, it's a fucking blast.
Yes.
Like, you know, I'm like, it's just one of, I didn't think of it as, oh, I'm going to go record a podcast with episode with Gunn tonight. It's like, I'll go hang out with Gunn tonight. You know?
Yeah. That's you know what the I mean? Idea of the show. The show's really almost every episode is just a hang.
Just hang out. Right.
It's yeah. just hanging.
It's just hanging.
Exactly. We have some shit we're supposed to talk about.
Order, exactly.
Premise of having a podcast. So, dude, I like I said, I couldn't say it better myself. I enjoy the hang. I enjoy talking to you. We always have a blast. And we'll maybe we'll update it to 100% more and do it twice a year moving forward, you know. But thank you so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure. It's always a blast. Thank you so much for the venue and the forum to even have Taking the Over. Taking the Over would not exist if not for Jeff giving us a spot here on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, and everybody that's with Dome Patrol as well. Thanks. Love. Peace. Stick around, all of our good Taking the Over listeners. At one point, the Coheed and Cambria is going to end, and then Pussy Talk is going to begin. Jeff, say goodnight to all the beautiful people.
Good night, beautiful people. Be good humans.
Thank you. We'll see you next week. Bye. Love Pussy Talk.
I think we need to do a Pussy Talk show. Like you said, one episode maybe just to pilot. Dude,
we'll give up after a week or, yeah. You know, well,
depends on
until
the
we give, the until callers. We give up.
Right.
Until we give up. It might be one show.
Pussy Talk.
Might be 300 shows.
And it's all about our lives with cats.
And cats.
For cat lovers and cat people who
I've been looking
the logo.
For, yeah.
The logo needs to be like a double entendre, but a cat.
Right. Oh, I think it's straight cat. I think the visual identity is cats all the way because Pussy Talk is so abrupt it needs to be offset by just pure cats. The visual identity. You're right. Because the verbal identity, the written.
See, this could be misconstrued.
I think Pussy Talk's a show. It's like Pussy Talk's a UFC fighter and you're trying to get it into the UFC by putting it on the Ultimate Fighter reality show.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I feel like Pussy Talk can go straight to the UFC.
Oh, you think like Pussy Talk gets a free, you're yeah, buying. Yeah, yeah, you yeah, own yeah, the yeah, network, yeah. you're yeah, that's buying Pussy Talk.
Yes.
Just, you know, a little segment like, oh, well, let's take a call. One call, two calls per show, whatever. But the calls could be advice like, hey, I'm wondering what kind of kitty litter you find is the best, like clumpy.
Dude, I've got very strong opinions about kitty litter.
See,
and I
that's
feel
a
like,
segment.
And I feel like my and I feel like my opinion is the right opinion.
Yeah,
because
there you go. I'll swear by mine. I will swear.
I'm definitive on kitty litter,
and mine is $5 at Tractor Supply.
It's not the most expensive, and it's not the least expensive.
Mm-hmm. But I think it also depends on what your cat does with it, too. I mean, there's so much. Yeah, it's a segment. Another segment is...
I can only vouch for the pussy. Shit and piss of my cat.
Should you shave your
the
pussy?
Only
That's shit, another show.
It's the only I mean, pussy I, shit. It's the only pussy shit and piss that I'm familiar with. It's my own cats. I'm finding that more
once every 2 months, I have to shave my pussy because I'm allergic. To the hair.
I'm finding that more and more of my friends have pussies. Because it's just like having that in common, you know, the mutual love and admiration of pussies.
Right?
Like I thought that my pussy had eaten a piece of shit. Legitimately, he was in the corner. I heard him yakking. Like I never. He's puked twice. He's 2 years old and he's puked twice in his life.
Oh, this wow.
This was the second time.
That's okay? Pretty good.
It sounded like a dog. If you hear a dog puke, it sounded like that. It was the same veracity.
Yeah. And it wasn't a hairball.
And it was in the other. No, well, yeah, spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry.
It was a lot of puke. And then it looked like he'd eaten like one small piece of his own shit. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. Like, I'm going to look the other way. We'll pretend this never happened. You know, as I'm right now, he's playing kitty fetch with me. He likes to bring balled up paper towels to me and he'll play fetch like a fucking dog.
I love that.
He'll do it. And now that I've said it, hopefully he'll stop.
See, my pussy.
I thought was a piece of shit was actually a hairball. And I had a pussy friend. I had a friend that has pussy. Actually, she thinks she's got a few pussies. She explained that what I was seeing was a hairball and not a piece of shit. And that's what it looked like. And I was like, oh my God, I've never seen him have a hairball before. Also, I typically shave, you know, groom him professionally every 3 months. And I've been letting him, I feel it's only right. You know, I'm growing my hair out. He can grow his hair out. He acts different.
That's when there are hairball foods that you can buy.
When his pussy hair is shaved, you know, like when he's all groomed up, I think he looks beautiful. I think he looks so much better now.
You like when your pussy's more hairy?
No, I do not. I do not.
But
he does.
Ah.
He likes being hairy, right?
Okay.
And I find when he's being professionally groomed, he has like less self-confidence. I don't even know how to describe it. Self-confidence is the best way that I can describe it. It's not exactly self-confidence, but he acts different.
I get it. Now, yeah, our pussy, when I shave her every month or so, 2 months, and she, I don't realize how thin my pussy is.
When we groom him, he's not near overweight.
Like, wow, he looks like he's overweight. You were overweight. Yes.
He looks like he's not overweight at all.
No. Right. I had a fat pussy.
Yep.
Turns out I have a skinny
pussy.
Turns out
you cut all that, you get all the hair, all that pussy, and it's skinny after.
It was all hair.
my pussy's the same way. My pussy's 100% the same way.
I wonder how the listeners are going to want. I think they're going to want more of this.
I think they are
If you give them a sample.
Listeners, thank you very much. This has been your sample of the new hit podcast coming to the Don't Patrol United Podcast Network. Pussy Talk with Jeff and Gunn. And I cannot speak for Jeff. I can only speak for myself. Can't promise how frequent it'll be.
Right. But depends. Well, what
it felt easy.
It did.
This preview felt pretty easy.
I agree, actually. And I think that there's a lot of conversation to be had about pussies. And I think we have enough listeners who might want to participate and ask questions. Maybe they can send us pictures of their pussies.
Yes.
Put it on the live stream.
Of course they can. I'm going to have video. I'm taking video of my pussy every week.
I've seen it on Facebook.
Every week. I'm putting it up. Oh, I post lots of pictures. I like to just put pictures of my pussy all over the internet.
Oh my God, this is a genius show. This is the best show ever.
I don't even know if we can air this. Can we do a real show tonight? I'm almost like we're gonna.
This might be the show.
I think it might just be Pussy Talk.
It might be like the show might be the pilot of Pussy Talk. Like I don't even remember what else we were supposed to talk about.
So we could not have a more beautiful, organic origin story than what is unfolding right now. My pussy's trying to get into my tea right now, buddy. Stop. I don't mind you. Like, he don't even want it. He just wants to fucking ruin it for me.
Well, and then you're gonna let your pussy pick the games for Pick'ems then.
I am. I'm excited.
That's gonna be an interesting. I can't wait to see the videos.
I just want them to be mildly entertaining and animals handicapping games typically is.
Yeah. Well, I think the video is a very important part of doing it, because otherwise
he's probably going to have a huge following because of pussy talk.
Well, I think so. Yeah. But people may accuse you of not actually picking with your pussy if they don't see your pussy making the picks. So it's a very
important. No. The video is going to be of him making the picks. Everything's going to be so legit. You're going to see the double blind.
That's what I'm saying. That's the
placement of envelopes. Everything's going to be equally spaced. Like, I don't want him to favor one side. And let's say he favored one direction over the other, because he's going to have a choice on the left and the right. Right.
Right.
And he's going to be equidistant from both of those choices. Even if he develops something where he goes between the left and the right, I'm gonna have my kid or somebody like shuffle. The picks will actually be in an envelope, and each one will be placed behind the treats. So let's say he turns into a real asshole, and he only goes to one reward over the other consistently. I still won't know what's in the envelope. It's still going to be random.
Yeah. 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 Because otherwise, because you could rig the machine. You could be, for the last 6 months, you could have been training him to pick a certain envelope, the top right or something, you know.
They'll be shuffled and passed that. Like, I would, like, if you were at my house, I'd be like, well, Jeff's gonna place the envelopes behind the catnip.
But I know you well enough too, and the listeners I think would too, that you're doing this as much for your own entertainment and experience as everybody else's. This isn't a gimmick to, like, you're making the picks and you're making it like your cat's making the pick. No, you're genuinely wanting Uncle Baby Billy to make these picks. You know what I mean? Like, right. You know, but, like, you know, some people, like, who's the worst?
Takes the burden who's off the of one me that of let making us... the picks. I'd rather him make the picks than me. He's doing my work. I don't want to do the work.
Right.
I don't want to be responsible for fucking however many games. That's not a
bad idea. I need to do something where I don't make my own picks too.
and here's the funny thing, Jeff. You'll do better, and I'll do better.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I actually end up. I do pretty well on pick'ems. On pick'ems. Okay.
But when the cat defeats anybody, and the cat's going to be like half the people at least. That's just going to be. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, he'll talk for me. I can record him talking shit to people. He's a very vocal pussy.
Is he now? I would say mine is too, actually. Come to think of it. My pussy's in the room right now.
Mine's right behind the camera. He's staring at me right now.
I'm surprised mine hasn't jumped in my lap and gotten on screen, because my pussy loves to play with my microphone.
Oh, well, he already did that earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. But the door is closed, so she's trapped in the room with me.
Maybe you got to discipline that pussy better.
Well, you know, does your pussy like closed doors or not? Like, if there's a door closed in the house, my pussy's banging on it.
He usually waits until sunup. Like, he'll just accidentally fall asleep somewhere else. And then about 5 o'clock in the morning, he'll go, hey, I really would have rather been in your room with you the entire night.
Yeah.
But I've already closed that train's already sailed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I mine can be in the bed, laying on top of me. And if a door closes on the other side of the house, my pussy's getting up and going bang on that door until somebody opens it. My pussy hates closed door. Can't handle a house with a closed door. I don't get it. I'm like, why do you care about that door? You were never gonna go through that door. You were gonna stay here all night. And now you gotta ruin everybody's fun.